Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand. Stand up and shake somebody's hand. Pastor's here. Stand up again. Shake somebody's hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 All right, just shake a hand. Amen. Amen. I got some. We have Stephen Smith is going to speak to us today. But before he brings the word, I can tell y'all are ready to fellowship, aren't you? I can tell. Fellowship is huge. It's real big, and with God, it really is. Before Stephen starts his word that he's got from the Lord, I want to address one thing that actually Lee said, and I've heard it about four times. He's not saying it himself, but he said he's talking about repentance, and he's talking about somebody saying it's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's about the fourth time I've heard that in about 2 weeks. Now, he didn't say it for him, but he said others are saying that. It's not a big deal. Let me tell you the answer. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's such a big deal that Jesus had to die for it. Do you hear that? That's a little thing. That's not a big deal. It's such a big deal. He died for everyone, every sin, where they were like huge or where they were like to us, small. There's not, and God is still sin. His son had to die for it. So to me, that's a big deal. Yeah. How about you? That's a big deal. Give him praise. Come on, Stephen, where you at? Is he here? Oh, I thought he got raptured or something. And I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I'm going too.
I had to have a little conversation with our pastor. I was getting ready to have to do something that was very, very unpleasant. And I thought that if I did it, my wife would hate me, that I would become a monster. But the pastor showed me and spoke to my heart that no, basically you have to do what you have to do. And sometimes it's not going to be pleasant, but it will be God. It may not be pleasant, but it's something that must be done. And if it's God, you don't become a monster. You become an obedient servant. So, Pastor, thank you. It's interesting. He told me about the prophet. Every, seven steps or so, they had to kill an ox. And I don't know how long they went, but every step he had to, you know, taking the life of anything affects you. And I was thinking about when God had his people go into the land And they had to kill everything, even the babies. Now, how do you live with that? See, we weren't made to have to do stuff like that. How do you live with those hard, difficult things that God requires you to do? Not optional. Man, I tried every way I could to get out of what I had to do. I prayed, I cried out to God, I did everything I could do. But it sat right there. And it wasn't until I met with God and he basically told me, Steve, do what you have to do. You'll be okay. And then when I finally bowed my knee to my Almighty God and did it. And you know what my wife said? Thank you. She said, thank you. She declared her love for me. He says, and she said, you ain't a monster. You know, you did this for me. Whew. Man. I got a question for you. Now, this is going to be just a little snippet here. It ain't even my message. But do you have to sin? Now, think about it. Now, when I was pastoring this little church, we had a Wednesday night service, and I asked the group there, do you have to sin? And one guy told me, yeah. He said, you got to sin. And I said, what sin do you have to do? I hope it ain't adultery, because I'm going to have to hide my wife from you, you know. Now, you don't have to sin. And the way we get beyond that, over in Revelations 12:11, it says, and they overcame him, who's the him here, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and loved not their lives unto the death. So the way you overcome is by God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and not loving your own life. I was thinking about over in Genesis when Adam and Eve fell. And I would go over that over and over again. Why did they fall? You know one thing? Did they have the word of God? Absolutely. God told them, don't eat of that. Don't do that. So they had the word of God. But why did they fall? I'm going to tell you why I believe they fell. They didn't go eat from the tree of life. Now, if you don't eat from the tree of life and you don't have the Spirit of God, you know what you're going to do with the Word of God? You're going to add to it. Because God told him not to eat of it, but she said, don't eat of it and don't even touch it. Don't even. Why did she add to it? Because the Word in and of itself, apart from the grace of God, you got to bolster it up. You got to add something to it to try to, you know, she wasn't trying to be evil. She was trying to get some support. And the support you need in your life is a living relationship with Jesus, with His Spirit. See, you have to live in the Spirit 24/7. You need to practice the presence of God all the time. All the time. And he says, Steve, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Because you're thinking about something and you're in somebody's presence all the time. You know, one of the things, matter of fact, this is an example right this morning. I was sitting over there minding my own business. Kim was over here teaching an excellent class. And you know, I tell you, I'm lazy. I'm lazy as an old dog. I walk through the door. I flop in the first seat because I said, look, I can listen to this thing here, and I can sit right here and listen to the message. I ain't got to move. I'm sitting there minding my business, and the Lord said, get up and go over there. And I said, with my great intellect, why? I'm comfortable right here. God, I can hear. He said, no, get up and go over there. I got up and went over there, and someone shared on this thing of not taking an offense. Now, if I was over there, I wouldn't have heard it. I could just hear the speaker. I couldn't hear all the other kind. And to sum it up, if you take an offense, you create a wall, a road that the devil can come in and out of your life whenever he wants to. And the same thing is, you know why that was so important to me? I had somebody in my family, I'm ready to slap. I'm just to be honest. I mean, this guy was he started getting on my nerves, and I only got one nerve, and he's getting on that one. And I'm ready to in holiness send him to heaven, man. But see, the thing is, when you take an offense, it creates that road. And the devil can come in and out of your life at will. And see, and one of the things I'm realizing, my relationship and my working with God is increasing. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to do Hearing the Voice of class. I'm working with the youth. I mean, and things are starting to get bigger. And I cannot afford to have an offense in my life that opens the road for the devil to come in and out. You can't afford that. You can't afford to have bitterness. You can't afford to have anything that is not of God running your life. Because I guarantee you, it will have an effect. And it will affect everything. You can't think, well, I'll do this little thing and have this little bitterness over here, but I'll be okay over there. No, it won't. See, that offense, that bitterness I take in my heart will affect the youth. It will affect everything else I do. So you know what happened this morning? God helped me dodge a bullet. And the reason how I was able to dodge that bullet, because I heard what he said, and then I acted upon it. You want to dodge a bullet? Hear what God is telling you. Spend some time, get quiet, hear what he's saying, and then get up and do it. You know, the thing is, a lot of times we live our lives almost like two-dimensional. We're crawling around on the ground. God says, stand up, son. Quit crawling on your belly. Stand up, hear what I'm saying to you, and go out and do it. You know, this thing is, there is a revival coming. A real revival coming, and God is going to depend upon you. There are things that you're going to have to do. You know, bless my wife's heart. We had a neighbor call. She said, I'm hearing mewing out under my shed. And so my wife goes there, and there's this little old kitten. And she kind of picks it up and then puts it back. And she gets away, getting ready to walk off. And you know who's following her? That little old kitten is following her. And she brings this little old kitten home. Now, you got to realize, they've got about 7 cats already outside our house. And I'm thinking, why in the world did this woman bring another cat into this house? And she was kind of feeling all bad, but the little kitten was there. She was following her and all that. And boy, the Lord yanked me up. I thought he was going to break my neck. He said, now, if she hadn't done that, she wouldn't have been the person you married. If she hadn't have done that, she wouldn't have been the woman you married. And I said, Lord, thank you. Darling, bring as many cats here as you want. See, a lot of times we don't understand, we don't see the things that God is doing. And not only did she get one cat, we went outside behind our house, and that old mama cat, now this One cat was way down the street that somebody else. She done brought another cat to our house, another little old kitten, and we'd found another one out there. So we got it and brought it. Now we got two kittens. I hope my boys ain't listening to this. I was going to call them cats by my boys' name because they act just like my boys. I mean, they rough and then they rolling all over the place. And a little side note, I was pastoring at this one church and we got ready to leave. We were taking all the thing down. Took down one of their posters and it was a big old hole in the wall. And that hole had been there for a long time. What happened was one boy put the other boy's head through the wall. And they said, well, we'll get by this. We'll put a sign, put this poster up over the hall so Dad won't see it. So I'm like, now we got two kittens, and it's interesting. My oldest boy called me, and we were telling him about it. He said, yeah, I was praying and said, you know, you need to give my parents something because because we had a puppy that died, and they need something. And so what did God do? He gives us two kittens. You know what? I'm thankful for both of them because one of them pays attention to the other one, so we ain't got to be. See, that's why I was good. We had two boys. I mean, because they could fight one another. You know. You know. So the thing is, our freedom flows from us being able to have the Word of God, have the Spirit of God, and not loving and grabbing onto our own lives. Being willing to lay them down no matter what. Now, that wasn't even my message. What I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about is unbelief. How many of you think you have enough faith? Any of you think you need more faith? Bible says he has given all of us the measure of faith. Only one measure. And you got it. You don't need more. You know how I can prove that? Are you saved? You know what that means? That's more than enough faith. The scripture says you are a species that never existed before because of your faith, because you were able to get born again. You got enough power that created a new being by your faith. You don't need any more of it. You realize babies, when they're born, they got all the muscles that they will ever have. They just build them, but they don't need any more. So what's your problem? You know what your problem is? It's your unbelief. Not that you ain't got enough faith. See, the thing is, I was looking at it. Now, this may offend somebody. I don't care. I'm out going hunting. And there's dinner out there. It's called a deer. You stand right there, and you got your rifle, and you're looking down the thing. Why didn't you pull the trigger? Dinner is sitting right there. It's like mama call you to the dinner, your place at dinner. You don't come. Why? That's your problem. You didn't pull the trigger. But why? The why is because of your unbelief. It's not because the gun wasn't loaded. It wasn't because dinner wasn't on the table. There's something is standing between you and you doing. You have the faith, but there's something that's keeping you from acting. Over in Luke 9, it's about the boy being healed. It says, and it happened on the next day when they came down from the mountain and that a multitude met him, meaning Jesus. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out saying, teacher, I implore you, look at my son for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth. So basically he had epilepsy or something. And it departs from him and with great difficulty. And basically he throws him in the fire and so on. And Jesus said, he also says that the disciples couldn't cast them out. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring your son to me, or bring him to me. So here's the situation. The disciples couldn't do it. And he says, O faithless and perverse generation. Was Jesus yelling at them? What do you think? See, now a lot of people read that as Jesus was rebuking them and being mean. As you faithless and you perverse generation. No, he wasn't doing that. He was pointing out a certain truth. He says, you don't have faith, you're perverse, or you are twisted. You got this thing twisted. I got a question for you. How long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? Is that a rebuke? No. What's the answer? My Bible says he will never leave me nor forsake me. That's the answer. He wasn't yelling at them. He wasn't beating them up. He says, you're crooked, you're perverse, you're twisted. You missed the point. You guys have been with me all this time, but you're missing me. You're missing my love for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, ever. And what's the answer? What's always the answer? Bring him to me. You got an issue? Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to the Word made flesh manifesting. Ooh, man. That's what you do. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Bring him to my Word. What did I say about that? What did I say about that? Bring it to that. Bring it right there. Kim was talking about the Word. She'd been teaching on the Word. There's where you got to go. You know, I already knew how this thing was going to go. My preaching, I already knew how it was going to go. You know why? Got up this morning, had a little meeting with Jesus. Sat down and journaled. He told me exactly what was going to happen here. And I'm sitting up here lying. I'm saying, yeah, God, it's happening. Yeah, just like you said. Have you stood and have you rested in the presence of God? And that's what he's calling us to do, to be and to live in his presence. And then it goes on to say, and then they brought the boy to Jesus, and when that spirit saw Jesus, he calls that boy to go into a fit. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Once you start moving in the things of God, the devil won't like it. And he will cause certain manifestations to happen. Now, you think about it. It says, it threw the boy down. It made it look like he was dead. A lot of people ran up and said, he's dead. What did it say Jesus did? Jesus says, Jesus went over and took his hand and raised him up. See, Jesus was not moved by what he saw. He was moved by what the Father had said. And what has the Father said? He says, in Israel, if you would sacrifice that lamb, your sins will be forgiven. And the only way that sin can have any effect, or sickness can have any effect on you, is because of sin. Once you get rid of the sin problem, sickness, disease, I don't care what it is, it has no right. That demon had no right to be there. Why? Because a priest sacrificed a lamb. Now, let me ask you this. Who was sacrificed for you? What lamb was sacrificed for you? So don't tell me anything has the right or power to run over your life. I will slap the devil back to hell. You know, you don't, you, no, ain't nobody told you you can come out of there. I remember sometimes, now this is just me. Now, I don't know what y'all do, but this is just me. I'll rebuke the thing. Matter of fact, and that's one of the things that it says here. And Jesus spoke to that thing. He didn't pray to God. He spoke to it, and he told it exactly what to do. And see, I'll pray for something, and like a lot of times I ask a person, well, how you doing? What rate of 1 to 10? And they'll give me a number. Well, how bad is the pain? Well, it's a 9 or whatever. So I'll pray, and I'll deal with that thing. And then I'll ask them again, where's the pain level? Now, it better go down. It better go down because if you don't go down, then you are what? You're a lying spirit. And the scripture says every lying spirit has its place in the lake of fire. And I said, I'll speak to you one more time. Now you go in that pain, you got to go. And if it don't go, I said, I will send you to the lake of fire. I had one demon tell me, I can't get in. I said, well, you sit there and wait. It'll open up for you. And then I crank it up and said, now, if I had said it again to you, then you're going to have to take 7 more of y'all demons with you. And I'll keep cranking it up. 7,000. 1,000,000. And after a while, it shuts its mouth and it'll go. See, you have to do spiritual warfare. You have to get a place that you don't back off. Because it has got to go. When Jesus spoke to the thing, it had to go. And now, then he had a place where he gets with the disciples and they go into the house. And then they asked him, why couldn't we do this? And he says, let's see where it is. He says, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say. One of the first things that faith does, it causes you to say something. It causes you to repeat what God has declared. And he says, you know, he says, it's because of your unbelief you're not saying that. And he says, if you did it, it would be able to move a mountain. And then at the end he says, however, this kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. What is he talking about? Was he talking about the demon? See, a lot of people think he was talking about the demon. He wasn't talking about the demon. He was talking about your unbelief. He says, your unbelief is only going to come out through prayer and fasting. How did he get rid of the demon? He spoke to the demon. He commanded it to leave. He gave it no other option but to do that. But now what are you going to have to do about your unbelief? He says, it's only going to come out through prayer and fasting. And I am starting to run out of time, so I will not be able to finish all of this. But prayer. One of the things I'd like you to do when you get a chance is go over to Psalms 100. And Psalms 100 says, it talks about, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, being thankful, and we blessing his name. Why? God is good. His mercy endures forever. See, that is the beginning of what we're doing in our prayer. We're being able to give thanks to God. We praise him, we honor him, and we bless his name. You should know all of the names of God. You should know them by heart. They should flow in and out of you all the time. Every time you hit a situation, you should be able to pick what name is going to take care of that. And then declare that name over everything. I want you all to do this. I want you to take a breath. Do it again. You know what you just did? You just declared the name of God. Yahweh. The name of God. And that was the first thing that happens to you when you're born, and that's the last thing that's going to happen to you before you die. You will declare the name of God. Yahweh. Yahweh. I do that, I don't know how many times a day. I do that every time some situation comes up and my head starts to get twisted. I just breathe. And I realize, Yahweh. And see, and that name, it's a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about God creating the body from the dirt, and it says he breathed into his nostrils. That was a bad translation. The word nostrils there means face. He breathed into his face. So when he breathed into Adam's face, what happened? Adam did. He received the name of God. And actually what it talks about is with that body, he has the body, and then he speaks, and it says he became a living what? He became a living soul. He gained his identity, his personage. You become you when you take on the name of God. Your identity of who you are. Who is God? God is light, God is love, and he is a consuming fire. What are you? You are light, you are love, and boy, you are a consuming fire. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I go to Walmart hunting people down. I ain't lying. I look for somebody limping or got something going. I hunt, man. I can't hunt in the natural. I can't hit the side of a barn. Matter of fact, one time we had something going on in our chicken yard or whatever, and Henry Ann said, "Don't shoot out there. You'll kill one of my chickens because you know I can't hit nothing." She said, "Don't be shooting out there." It was some kind of a fox running around. He said, don't shoot at him. You hit a chicken. See, the thing is, you have to develop that within you. You have to become the apex hunter. Top number one. The devil should shake and shimmer every time he sees you coming. Because you're a child of God. You have the name of God. You have the spirit of grace. And like I say, I mean, one time I was where? I was at Lowe's. I had a lady, she was limping and all that. So I just came over and said, "Well, what's going on?" She said, I'm going to have surgery on my knee because, as a matter of fact, it was some Monday. She gonna have, so I got down and I prayed for a knee. This woman said, What you do? What you do? And I said, "Well, God just healed you," and I just got up and walked away. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, why didn't you tell her about Jesus?" No, God didn't tell me to do that. He said, "Go heal her." And now she's going to have to deal with that. She's going to have to deal with that because come Monday, when she goes to that doctor and she's walking around fine and she's supposed to have her knee something done, what's she going to say? What you gonna say now? So I ain't getting in the middle of that. that's between you and God. You got a problem now. You just met God. Now, what you going to do? See, and this is what God is calling and asking of us. That we hear his voice. And I'm not going to go into these, but in Psalm 24, he talks about ascending. And one of the things he talks about, you have to have clean hand, pure heart. That's how we ascend. But then in Psalms 15, he talks about abiding. So a lot of times we might ascend, but we don't abide. We don't find a resting place in God. So that's the thing about prayer. One other thing here before I just kind of close with a little bit of fasting. If you look over into Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Now, you understand that story. Zechariah wanted to have a child, and they didn't have a child. Now, you have to realize, he was a priest who went into the inner part. Now, if he messed up, what would have happened? They'd have had to drag him out. So he was able to go into there, and an angel appeared. And it just basically freaked him out. You know, I was going to say, why? Weren't you expecting something like that? You were in the presence of God. What's going on here? No. I pray for people, and I have and seen people slain in the spirit. That's fine. But I shouldn't get slain every time. There should be a place where you can live in the Did Jesus get slain in the spirit every time? He went and met God every morning. There comes a place you should get comfortable with this. You should get comfortable with living in the presence of God. You ain't no heathen. And so he is in this place, and the angel comes and tells him all of this stuff, some good stuff. Watch what he says. And Zechariah says to the angel, "How shall I know this?" So the question is, for him, for you, for me, how do I know? What is your process of knowing? How many of you use Google? I'll Google it. That's why I'll find out what Google says about it. I'll find out what my doctor says about it. I'll find out what the bank says about it. He says, how shall I know this? And here is the thing is, for I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. See, what was he looking at? He was looking at himself and others. See, that's your problem. So that's one of the things that God told me. He said, you look too much at you. You track you all day long. How you doing? How you not doing? And you need to get your eyes off of you, and you need to get your eyes on me. See, because you are looking at the wrong place. You're looking at dirt. You know, I made you from dirt, son. And you're just looking at some more dirt. Your dirt or their dirt, you're looking at dirt. You got to get your eyes above that. And that's it. And then he goes on and he says, and the angel answered and said to him, I love this, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you glad tidings. I am Gabriel. You need to know who you are and whose you are and what you have been called to. I'm Gabriel, man. I stand in the presence of God. So you need to stand on up, stand in the presence of God, get a word from God, and then be able to say what that is. See, now that's why he was asking, how do I know? That's why we stand in this place of unbelief, because we have not stood in the presence of God. And you'll be able to say, God said. Remember when Jesus went out into the wilderness? What happened first? He was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and then he was sent out into the wilderness. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And then he went out in that wilderness, and then what happened? Every challenge that came up, he says, it is written. And my little thing is, I'll slap you back. Don't be messing with me. See, that's where that is. You have to stand in the presence of. Is this good? God told me it was going to be good. I stood in his presence this morning. He said, son, I'll give you my words. I'll be there. See, and that's what you have to do. Stand in his presence, get a word from God, and then don't move from it. Don't move from it. Because you know what? You plant your Ebenezer, and everything else is going to have to revolve and move. I'm going to just close with this. I'm not going to go into the fasting. That's a whole nother thing. But one thing I've came and realized, you have to have two anchors. If any of you have had a boat, if you set one anchor, what is that boat going to do? It'll do this. You have to have two anchors. You have to have the cross for the past, and you're going to have the resurrection for the future. You have to go over to Revelation and look at all of the things that have been accomplished and will come to pass. Those are your two anchors. And when you anchor it at both ends, the thing don't move. Jesus has bore all of my sins, and he has created good things for me to do. And that anchors me. It takes care of my past, and it establishes my future. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, and we just worship you, Lord. We receive what Jesus Christ has done, and we receive the resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.